voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Dr. Brown, it's been a hot minute. How are you?
Melissa?
I missed you last week. I didn't have any voice of reason, so I was kind of all
over
the place.
Sorry about that.
Hey, it's all good. You've got a life. It's all good. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're back this morning. Let's start off with COVID, and then we'll switch gears, I think would be great. First of all, let's start with this Delta variant. What can you tell us about it? I know it is rocking the United Kingdom this morning. I know officials here in Connecticut are very nervous about it. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, it's not unexpected. We did know, and you and I have talked about this, you know, several times, that we do know that as, you know, as there's a lot of people who are getting infected overseas, no longer here, thank God, you know, as people are getting, you know, infected overseas, that there is concern that there's going to be more variants that come out. And this is one of those variants that actually occurred in India. And unfortunately, you know, the virus, when it does mutate, now, again, there's a lot of mutations that kill the virus, but unfortunately, you know, when it does mutate to a little stronger, and then it could spread more easily. This does look like it's a little bit more of an aggressive aspect of the coronavirus, so it's a more aggressive COVID-19. But it looks like, so that's the bad news. But the good news is it looks like after two vaccinations, you're pretty well protected.
Okay. So the first thing I want to take away from that, Dr. Brown, which, look, we're seeing it. President Biden has already said he's going to start giving our vaccinations to other countries because not enough people are getting vaccinated. So is it safe to say we're probably going to see more variants overseas popping up until more people get vaccinated?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be seeing more, you know, more people getting it, more people throughout the country, and then that actually puts us at risk for getting a variant that may be somewhat resistant to the vaccine.
Why?
And this is why you've probably heard a lot of rumor, a lot of noise about a booster. This is exactly what we were expecting, that, you know, as it goes around the world, as these variants occur, you know, will the variants be enough to overcome our current vaccination? And the likelihood of that is actually relatively small. If you've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you're going to have some protection.
Okay, wait. So, Dr. Brown, back up. Why would... Explain that, sorry, a little bit more. So
no,
you were,
absolutely.
Only because I'm trying to understand. So you were saying if a variant from another part of the country, if it makes it here, why would that require us to get a booster if our vaccine is working?
So right now it does not.
Okay.
So the current variant that we had, the current variant that we're seeing, the Delta virus, it does look like the vaccine that we're getting works.
Okay.
However, the more variants that are out there, the more likely it is going to be resistant to our current vaccine.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense? So
yes.
And that doesn't mean that it's completely zero. It just means that there's going to be some resistance. So instead of 90%, it may be 70%. It may be 60%, and it really depends on that variant. If it goes down low enough, then it's going to be important for us to get a second, a third vaccine or a booster, or a second if you've got J&J.
Okay. So, Dr. Brown, I guess my question would be, initially we were hearing reports, I think from the CDC, I can't even keep everybody straight anymore, but I believe it was the CDC, saying that if we were to get this booster, it wouldn't be until the earliest would be early next year. But if more variants are popping up across the globe, could you see us getting that booster sooner, or is the vaccine strong enough to get us through the rest of 2021?
The vaccine should be strong enough to get us through 2021.
Okay.
It really should be. And, you know, I think I know right now there is work being done on developing a booster. You know, our common names, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J are all working on them now. The new vaccines that are actually coming out that are not those companies also have already incorporated into it the new strains. So the problem becomes is running it through the processing.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now all of our manufacturing is focused on our current vaccination. So the first and second vaccine, either Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AstraZeneca, all those are currently using all of our resources to develop it and get people vaccinated the first time before we can get to the boosting.
Gotcha. We're talking to Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. And Dr. Brown, my other question would be, and I'm sure it's way too soon to ask, but I'm going to ask it. Do we have any idea if after a booster shot, will we be done getting COVID vaccines? Or do you believe this is going to follow a suit kind of like a flu vaccine?
So there's a long answer to that. I will give you the short answer. The short answer is it is likely that we will get one more booster. If we are vaccinating throughout the world, then getting a second booster is less likely because you're not going to get as many variants if it's not as widespread. So if it's not, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, if not a lot of people are getting infected, so not tons of people getting infected, then the likelihood of getting variants is really low.
Okay, so basically we need to knock this thing out across the globe, not just here in the U.S. And if we do that, we get a booster in the next year, we shouldn't, fingers crossed, have to do this every year.
That's exactly right, Melissa.
Okay, cool. We're going to go off of hope and a prayer and hope that people do that then. There you go. That's great.
Exactly. That's why it's really important for everybody to get vaccinated.
Right.
Because it will affect the rest of us if people do not get vaccinated in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And more variants popping up, which we don't want.
Exactly.
Before I switch gears from COVID to something else, tick season, I was curious, Dr. Brown, do you have any updates on developments for children vaccines for COVID?
I do know that they're continuing to do the research, and that's about all I know right now. I've not read anything else.
Okay, because I know that I think it was Pfizer and or Moderna, it might be both of them, that they were hoping by the fall semester that they could start vaccinating kids as young as 6 months. So I wasn't sure if that was on track.
As far as I'm aware, it is.
We were just talking about COVID. Now we're switching over to tick season. Dr. Brown, I learned this week that a Fairfield resident and a New Haven resident both tested positive for Powassan virus. I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. I had never really heard of this. What is it?
So it is a very rare virus. In fact, looking at a few stats during the break, only 39 cases were reported in 2019. So it's actually a very rare case. Now, it is a viral infection. It's a special type of virus that can lead to I guess the best way to explain it could lead to some confusion and meningitis, so inflammation and irritation of the brain leading to a change in mental status. And it can be obviously very, very serious. I would equate it to Eastern equine virus. We've talked about that in bad cases of West Nile virus. You'd put them in the same sort of category.
But my understanding from the last time we chatted, Dr. Brown, was West Nile, that's actually pretty common, especially here in our area. So why is Powassan, why is that so rare? Because like you said, yeah, Triple E is usually rare. That's usually found in animals. So why is Powassan so rare?
So, the Eastern equine and West Nile virus are actually transmitted by mosquitoes. So that's the first thing, a big difference between the two. And then this is one of those tick-borne illnesses.
Gotcha.
So it is carried by ticks. It is not clear why it's rare. It doesn't spread all that much within the ticks itself. The reason why we're probably seeing and will likely see an uptick is just the amount of tick control that we've done within the area. We've actually already had a wet season. The more ticks, then the likelihood of getting potentially infected with this is a little bit higher. And I think that's probably the bigger issue. So what I would recommend is people need to be really careful about ticks.
And I think you had told me, Dr. Brown, that you're expecting higher numbers of Lyme disease. Is that what do I remember you saying that? Or no, was it West Nile? I can't remember. I know you and I talk all the time. But you were saying that we would...
I'm actually expecting both.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought, because you had said...
Yeah, the wet seasons, the way that we've been, you know, the way we treat for ticks, the way that we treat for mosquitoes, we've actually seen an increase in both of those within the area. There is a seasonal variability. Remember how much rain we ended up getting. Stagnant water brings back the mosquitoes. The heat, you know, and the tall grass leads to ticks. So, yes, I'm expecting to see a little bit more. And then, again, the more you see mosquitoes and ticks, the more you see Lyme disease and West Nile and some other viruses and bacteria.
Not to cause drama, Dr. Brown, but how similar are any of the... If you were to, let's just say, get West Nile, for example, your symptoms, how similar are they to COVID?
That is the problem. Melissa, I'm going to go a little bit off tangent on that. So one of the big concerns that I have, and it's great that we've seen a significant decrease in COVID, the issue is that they can be very similar. And right now in the summer, we have sporadic infections like the Powassan virus, like West Nile virus. West Nile a lot of times will actually present like a summer cold, which is exactly how COVID would present. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to be really important to continue to test. And I think when we get to the fall, when we start, it starts getting cooler, we start shutting our doors, we're in closer contact, everything sort of restarts again. Our concern is that we're going to see a lot of people who are going to be developing coughs and colds, which we haven't had because we've all been wearing masks and socially distancing, et cetera. So it's going to be a big question of, are we going to see an increase in COVID-19? I'm hoping not and thinking not, but we are going to see an increase in viral infections. So anytime you get a virus, it's going to present similar to COVID-19, and we're going to have to rule that out almost every time.
So do you think that has anything to do with why we're going to see more cases of West Nile or even viruses that tend to be rare, Dr. Brown? Because we're almost looking for any sign of COVID at this point, but then it ends up being something else.
Yes, very intuitive. Yes, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's interesting because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had to explain a lot of times what an ID doc was, an infectious disease doctor was.
Sure.
Nowadays, everybody knows.
Now we're experts. Yeah. I could be an ID doc. No, I couldn't.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. You're getting pretty close, Melissa.
I mean, you did say I'm intuitive, which is very nice of you to say. I appreciate that. Maybe I'll put it on a promo.
But because we are, because we are hyper alert to this, I mean, these things do occur. Mm-hmm. And they occur, they're either rare, uncommon, or common. But a lot of people don't really pay attention to it because they're like, oh, I have a cold, I have a cough. They don't really sort of associate it with any type of virus. So now you're going to be more aware of, okay, I have this, I have this cold and it's this virus, or it's not this virus, or that virus.
Oh boy, it's going to be a very interesting summer, that's for sure. All right, well, Dr. Brown. I appreciate it. I think the only thing really quick, I know we've run out of time, but with Powassan virus, just because to get back to that really fast, are there any symptoms like anything? I mean, I know you're saying this really impacts the brain. So I would think like any kind of memory loss, like is there anything we should be looking for? This is scary.
Not really. I mean, you're going to be sick enough that you're going to have to go to your local emergency department or contact your local physician. I mean, this is an illness that will make you really sick.
Okay.
So you will end up going to the emergency department. You'll get confusion is likely what it is. Could be fevers and chills. But again, I think it's going to be an acute confusion. I think the listeners, you just need to be careful of two things. One is that when you are out, make sure that you are looking for ticks. If you have to wear long clothes, make sure it's light colors so you can actually see the ticks. And if you do have a tick on that actually gets attached to you, make sure you don't just grab it and pull it out. You don't want to leave the leftovers in there.
Right.
Look at the CDC. They're really good about how to take a tick out to try to make sure it comes out and doesn't. You don't want to squeeze all the contents in your, basically in your skin.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Well, Dr. Brown, always appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk again next week.